Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Time now for Question Mark, presented by Breaks Plus. And this question comes in from Brian, who asks, Mark, how does the Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots trade affect Emmanuel Sanders' value? For those who haven't heard,
right,
Mohamed Sanu, the veteran wide receiver from the Atlanta Falcons, traded to New England for a second-round pick. And New England was certainly one of the teams that was rumored to be heavily interested in Sanders. So if they're getting if the Falcons are getting a 2 for Sanu, what realistically can the Broncos get for Emmanuel?
Well, you have to think about a couple of things when it comes to the Patriots. One, they always pick 32nd in the league, so it means they're picking dead last in the second round. So, and then they accumulate. They usually trade out of their first round pick and accumulate another second and third round pick. So I always think of the Patriots' second round pick is kind of a second slash third round pick. It's kind of how they operate, you know. So to them, giving up a second rounder is like, you know, we're going to trade out of that 32nd pick anyhow for somebody who's going to jump up because they've got to have a player that really probably can't play in the first place anyhow. So, you know, I mean, that's the way I would look at that and say, so if you've established yourself as kind of a late second, early third, if you can get a third round pick for Emmanuel, I think you automatically pull
job
the trigger.
Well done.
You move on.
Yeah, that'd be a terrific move. If they can get a third round pick, which by the way would be a third round pick that you could use right away, rather than having to wait for him to sign somewhere else and get a compensatory pick. Yeah, if you get a third rounder for him, because initially when we started hearing about what the value would be for Emmanuel, we're hearing like, you know, yeah, fifth round pick.
Right.
You know, fifth, sixth, something like that. If you can get third or fourth.
Right. If that's what the market's been established at now, Mohamed Sanu is a little bit different player. You know, there's a difference there. I think he's
different just, or better.
Well, I think he's better, but not better. I shouldn't say that. He's just different. He's like, to me, he's a more complete football player. I think Emmanuel's probably is a better or more dynamic just wide receiver, but Mohamed Sanu just does a ton of stuff for you. Like a lot of the dirty work stuff for you. So that's where I would go.
Garrett writes in, people need to give Elway more time to turn this around. Funny how short everyone's memories are. This team immediately went into full-on win-now mode when Manning signed here in 2012. Right or wrong, building for the future went to the back burner, and we went all in trying to get a ring. And it worked. We are suffering now, but Elway deserves the chance to right the ship. Garrett does make an interesting point. People forget. Go back before Manning was here. Go back during the Tebow year when they were winning in a way in which John was upstairs chewing on glass, right?
Correct.
And people forget, but during that year, he talked openly about how this was a team that he was taking over a team that is in transition. Now, nobody's ever going to come out. Good luck finding the general manager out there that's going to say, yep, hey, folks, we're in full-on rebuild. And keep coming out and buying tickets and buying merchandise for a team that's in full rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few say that. They'll use the much more easy-to-massage, we're in transition. Or trust the process, right? You know, those are the buzzwords for we're in full rebuild. But he was talking about that. He was talking like that.
Mm-hmm.
People need to remember that for a guy that is always labeled Mr. Win Now no matter what, he didn't sound like Mr. Win Now when he first took over. But then Manning landed in his lap. And that, to Garrett's point, that did change everything. But Peyton's not here. Peyton hasn't been here for a while now. And my frustration is, why can't I get the Elway prior to Manning, who seemed very much open to the idea that they were in rebuild,
because
and didn't cling to this stubborn, misguided idea that, well, we're in win now mode no matter what, because that's the standard of the Denver Broncos.
Because those picks weren't his picks. That's why it's easy to admit, hey, we need to revamp this thing. Right? Now that it's been his plan, I think there's a couple things you need to understand for Garrett talking about the Peyton Manning years is, one, you got Peyton freaking Manning. I mean, that guy covers a multitude of sins. Two, T.J. Ward, Aqib Talib, you know, give me a list of guys who wanted to come here. Darian Stewart, DeMarcus Ware, they wanted to come here to play with Peyton Manning. Because you know when you have Peyton Manning, you have a chance. And nothing more evident than when Peyton Manning went out with a neck injury in Indianapolis and they went from a 12-4 team every single year to a 2-14 team. Now, I understand a lot of people say, well, their backup quarterback was no good. No, you know what? The roster wasn't very good. They had to revamp that entire roster. To the point where their roster was bad, and guess what? They essentially beat the snot out of the next quarterback they drafted in Andrew Luck, to the point where Andrew Luck, you know, can't answer the bell anymore, retired. Now, in the last couple of years, what have they done? They've invested heavily in offensive line. First round draft choice a couple of years ago to play center. Another first round draft choice, sixth overall, to play guard. Second round draft choice to start at offensive tackle. By the way, Costanzo, you know, 5 or 6 years ago was also a first round draft. You look at their offensive line. It's first, like if you go left tackle, first rounder, right, left guard, first rounder, center was a first rounder. I'm not sure where Glasgow, their right guard, was drafted. I don't have any idea, but their right tackle was a second rounder. Let's invest in the line of scrimmage. Let's win that. We win the line of scrimmage, we'll be okay. Oh, you know what? And Jacoby Brissett's an all-star right now. Anybody predict he was going to be an all-star? It's much easier to play that position when you can run it and you can protect and you can be physical and you can set the tone. And on third down and two, it's not an automatic passing down. You can convert running the ball. So, you know, I mean, that's just what I would tell you.
You still have fans out there who... It's not that they believe in John, they just want to believe in John. And I get it. It's John freaking Elway.
Yeah.
You want to believe that he's got another comeback in him.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, come on now. At some point, you just have to say, here's what his record was with Peyton Manning. Here's what his record is without Peyton Manning. Okay? And without Peyton Manning... Well, I mean, do the math on the fly. 8-8, Tebow year.
Mm-hmm.
Then 9-7, the year after the Super Bowl. Then 6-10, 5-11. And now 2-5.
Can you believe, by the way, I know we talked about this for a second yesterday, but that you could make the changes, you could fire the coaching staff, you could make the changes, and you're going to be worse than you were a year ago? You're not winning six games. Are you winning six games?
Four more wins?
No.
How about new?
Well, you have the Chargers, Detroit, and Oakland all at home. And Cleveland.
That's your home schedule? That's what's left?
That's what's left.
Cleveland?
They will be hard-pressed to win a road game. At Indy, at Minnesota, at Buffalo, at Houston, at Kansas City. No. So, you have to sweep at home. Cleveland, Chargers, Detroit, Oakland. to get to six.
No, they ain't no way.
No way?
There's no way you're sweeping at home. Every one of those teams that you just mentioned is more talented. And even if the Raiders aren't more talented, they're just physically, they're tougher.
So you're saying they've got nine games left. And all
they will
nine,
be
and
underdogs.
All nine
they
teams
will be underdogs.
Are more talented than the Denver Broncos.
They will be the only team that they may be favored on because of the injury issues and because of the way they're playing right now at home. Would be the Chargers.
Knock
right?
on wood.
Would they be favored against? Maybe they'd be favored maybe. Against the Raiders.
Well, yeah, you don't know what by the end of the season. Who knows what Detroit and
well, you get. Well, I'm telling you, you get 3 points for being at home, right?
Yes.
You get 3 points for being at home, so they'll be a 1 or 2 point favorite against the Chargers and the Raiders, maybe.
But the only reason they'll be favored is because of the 3 point bump, home bump. In reality, they will not be favored.
Right. In reality, they'll be an underdog to every team on their schedule left. Correct? I mean, I'm no Vegas, I'm no Sharp, but it's got to be.
I probably shouldn't throw this out there, but do you give them? I mean, is Indianapolis all that? Are you so convinced that Indianapolis is all that you give the Broncos no shot this weekend? I know. Our most recent memory is the stench of last Thursday mm-hmm. night. But I mean, come on, this is a weird league. We've seen right. stranger things
it is,
happen.
It's a crazy week to week league. You're 100% right. And
I know that can't be your built-in strategy,
right.
though. That hey, I'm just going to count on the
and after
any
and,
given Sunday
right.
theory.
And after a game, like that. On Thursday night, you would hope that you would show some pride and be embarrassed about your performance enough to be like, we're going to show up here and we're going to play our butts off. You would hope that that would be the attitude, Mike. You would hope.
Well, what do you think? What do you think? It is.
I think Andy,
because here, let me set it up because this is a year unlike any other NFL year, honestly, in the history of the NFL, because for the first time that I can ever remember, trades are happening. Trades are happening. They've been happening. They're going to continue to happen in the NFL. There is an actual trade deadline. There is actual talk. There's actual movement that we typically see in other sports that we just, I mean, seriously, most years, I mean, I've been covering the NFL for 30 years. Most years it was like, oh, that's right. The trade deadline's today. what a trade deadline in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like much is going to happen, please.
Mm-hmm.
Why even have a trade deadline?
Right.
But come on now. So the trade deadline is real in a way it's never been. So the players are understanding that now. So you tell me, what's the mood around that locker room starting today as they go back to work? Is it, hey, what happened last week was unacceptable. Let's band together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go out and turn this season around and play with pride and purpose. Or is it, hey, I got to go talk to my agent because I want to know who he's talking to. Where am I going?
Right.
What is it?
I hope it's pride and purpose. But come on, you're not playing Emmanuel Sanders this weekend.
God, I hope not.
Right? The trade deadline is next week. So you're not going to play him. Are you playing Chris Harris Jr.? Are you trying to move him? He's leaving next year, right? He's not going to re-sign here. One, he already feels disrespected because you paid guys the same age. You gave them 3-year deals and you won't give him one. So he's going to finish somewhere else. And listen, I don't disrespect. I mean, I'm not angry at him. I respect that move. I know what it's like to be essentially told that we no longer want you. Yeah, I get that. And I get the desire you have to move on and prove people wrong. So would you play him if, I mean, if there's.
I wouldn't play him, but.
Right.
But here's the problem.
If there's nobody calling, though, if there's nobody calling and nobody, the problem, there's two problems. If there's nobody calling and you don't have a trade partner and you have the lack of depth that you have, because you have a lack of depth at that position, right?
Yes. Here's the problem with not playing him. You are sending a very clear message to the rest of your football team that this game doesn't matter. And, you know, this isn't Major League Baseball. This isn't the NBA with load management where teams stare at an 82-game schedule and automatically start ticking off the games that their players aren't going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the NFL where there is that, you know, it's Sunday, you play, every game matters, no matter what, type mentality that's still in place here. Especially with a guy who's in charge that says, we're in win now mode. So you sit down Emmanuel Sanders, you sit down Chris Harris Jr., all you're doing is sending a screaming message to the rest of your room that says, today doesn't matter. Look, I wouldn't play him. If I had designs on trading, the last things I would do is play guys in a sport where the potential for injury is exponentially higher than any other sport. There's no way I'd play him. But what's the old Bill Parcells line? Football players play football.
Have you already sent that message?
How would they have sent it?
We're already trading Emmanuel.
But there has not been any decree coming from the Valley that says we are trading Emmanuel Sanders. All it is Sunday afternoon pregame show reports, rumors, speculation.
Hey, you don't think those?
Well, it came from Schefter, so I know where it came from.
Right.
But that's. Just because we can all sit back and go, okay, if Adam Schefter is reporting it, wink, wink, it came from Elway. But that's still different than John Elway coming out and saying, yep, we've got a, open for business sign hanging over there at Dove Valley.
You know who else he's traded for the trade deadline? Brandon Lloyd, receiver. Demaryius Thomas, receiver. Aren't those the two guys he's traded previous to a trade deadline?
Yep. When did Talib get dealt?
In the offseason, right? He got traded in the offseason. So.
Yeah, that was in March.
Yeah, but the two trade deadline guys that they got rid of were both wide receivers. So. I just think the history is there. Everybody knows. I mean, everybody knows what's going on. It's not a secret.
Yeah, that was October 30th. They traded DT and a seventh-round pick to Houston for a fourth and a seventh.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the feeling then was, wow, they got a fourth for DT. Nice job.
Who'd they use the fourth on?
That's a good question.
Hold on.
Yeah, that let's, one. Let's all right. Have, who was that?
Because it's 2019, right?
So it would have been a fourth round pick unless they included it in a trade. All right, we will figure this one out. This could take a little bit of digging here because I don't know if it was involved in a trade or not. Because didn't they have... Because in the fourth round, in the fourth round this year, they didn't have a fourth round pick. They didn't make a pick in the fourth round. So there was involved in one of the trades.
Right.
That they made.
They moved that fourth rounder.
So I don't know. They made a few deals. So I right off the top of my head, I can't tell you how it was involved, but they used it.
Yeah, I don't know what they did with the fourth rounder. If they packaged the fourth and moved up, you know, in the third or moved down. I mean, who knows?
But if you, But if you can get, I'm encouraged that Sanu went for a second round pick. I get a lot of people screaming at us on the text line saying Sanders is better than Sanu. You say that's not the case.
I say
not a better receiver, right, but just a better that you can use Sanu in more football ways.
Right. I know that people don't know. I know they don't know Sanu, so I get people's ignorance towards Sanu. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory fashion or a snooty.
Boy, I thought you were just getting ready to play the whole, well, you know, if you didn't play the game.
No.
Then you just don't know.
No, I'm just telling you that Sanu is he's a really good football player, and he's a very, let's call him a very versatile football player. So, I mean, he's got an unbelievable arm. So all the trick plays, you know, all the reverse pass stuff, all that kind of stuff, anything you want to get into from a, anything you want to get into from a Wildcat standpoint, if you want to do some of that stuff, you want to motion him in and run him out of the backfield. You want to set him in the eye. Like he does all those things, blocking on the edge, sealing the edge. I mean, you can motion him and wham block him. I mean, that's the kind of receiver he is. He's just an exceptional football player.
Oh, Flacco. I used it in the Flacco deal.
Oh, they.
Yeah.
They used Flacco that fourth to get Flacco, yeah, who they're not going to play, who is not going to be here. So.
But they'll still pay him.
Yeah, but good thing is you renegotiated that contract, so you've got dead money.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, Flacco, right. Back to the Colts. The Colts are rapidly becoming the team I'm going to root for in the AFC. And you know why? Because you start talking about their offensive line, how they've invested in their offensive line. Check this out. Mark Lewinsky is their starting right guard.
Lewinsky, yeah.
He was a fourth-round pick of Seattle.
Seattle.
Okay? The other four guys on their offensive line,
mm-hmm,
Anthony Costanzo, first-round pick by Indy.
Right.
Earl Gray, Quentin Nelson.
First-rounder.
First-round pick by Indy.
Ryan Kelly was Ryan the Alabama Kelly, center. It was a first-rounder.
First-round pick by Indianapolis. Braden Smith, their right tackle.
Yeah.
Second-round pick by Indianapolis. That's a pattern. You know what? Look at the Steelers over the years. Look at how they've invested in their offensive line, homegrown. Look at the Patriots. Look at all their offensive linemen that are homegrown. So, you know, instead of just breathlessly, gotta go get my quarterback, you know what? Let other teams fall into that herd mentality. Let other teams fall under that spell. You know what you do? Do the smart thing. And I love Bradley Chubb. If I could have that one over again, I would have taken Nelson. I know you would have, of course, but.
Right. You know how I feel about it.
I know.
But you can't take a guard fifth overall.
No. He gets. I mean, you take him seventh, but not fifth. Oh. You're overdrafting if you take him fifth. Seventh, okay.
Yeah. Can't take him fifth overall. Rather give up nine sacks. Oh, my word.
But that's... Come on now. We're in a situation right now where we're looking around for blueprints, right? We're looking around. Who are the teams out there? Okay, if we can all finally sit back... And we can all come together and we can all agree that this is a team that's rebuilding. Then who are the blueprint teams out there? I'll tell you what, let's talk more about that.
Right.
Who are the blueprint teams out there for this team to follow? We'll do that coming up next.
Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business. Banking for good. Member FDIC.
Mark, when you have those moments of just those aha moments.
Uh-huh.
Of just, you know.
Oh, I just said.
You just said aha.
Uh-huh.
So you just had an aha moment.
Uh-huh. It's mind-boggling.
So that moment of perfect clarity.
Yes.
So here it is. The Broncos are in rebuilding mode.
Right.
Who and what are the blueprints to follow? And to me, it's obviously clear. There's two teams out there to look at. The San Francisco 49ers and the Indianapolis Colts. So look at what the Colts have done. Look at how they've invested in their offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Four homegrown picks along the offensive line, three first rounders and a second rounder.
Correct.
Okay?
Okay.
To go along with a khaki pants quarterback who's playing very, very well, and they love in Jacoby Brissett.
Okay? Correct. All those things are correct.
Look at San Francisco.
Okay.
These are San Francisco's top picks going back to 2015. See if you notice a theme. Eric Armstead, defensive tackle.
Really good player.
2015. 2016, DeForest Buckner, defensive end.
Really good player.
2017, two first-round picks. Solomon Thomas, defensive end. Reuben Foster, linebacker.
Okay, they've moved on from Reuben Foster because he's had some off-field issues. But he's a damn good player. But, you know, one thing I like about their franchise, what they did, they said, hey, we're going to give you a chance. But if you screw this up, we're going to dump you. And they held true to their word.
Yes, but I'm focusing on a theme here.
Okay.
2018, first round pick, Mike McGlinchey, tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2019, Nick Bosa, defensive end. I mean, it's all front seven, trenches, O-line, D-line.
The whole principle of
it. And by the way, and who's their quarterback?
Khaki. Look at their free agency too. Well, one, Joe Staley's been a big time offensive tackle for a long time. He's injured right now. He might be back this week, but he's homegrown. Then they went out and got themselves in free agency Lincoln Tomlinson, who's an outstanding left guard. They went out and got themselves Westbrook, their center.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, he's from Colorado.
Yeah, but he's not a great player, but he's a good player. And by the way, he was, at the time when they picked him up, he was the best center, quote unquote, on the market, and they knew they needed him. Weston Richburg. And then they went out and got themselves Mike Person, who is a, he was, I think they got him from Indy. But bottom line is where they've invested in free agency and where they've invested in the draft has all been, there's been a lot of front seven guys.
Now, in the case of the Colts, they had Andrew Luck. Or they thought they had Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
So that freed them up. Hey, we're set at quarterback. Now let's go out and build around him. Case of the 49ers, that was a little bit more interesting because they had already kind of started down this path of drafting without having the quarterback before Garoppolo basically got gifted to him. You know, Patriots were like, you know, Papa Kraft wanted,
right,
you know, to make his son happy by getting rid of Jimmy G.
Jimmy G's too handsome.
So they called up Kyle Shanahan because Bill Belichick had a lot of respect for Mike Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Called up Kyle Shanahan and said, hey, would you like Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick? They went, yeah. So that allowed them, but they were already in the, so here's the thing then. It comes down to the idea that if you don't have the quarterback, must you invest that first round pick in a quarterback, or would you be smarter to invest it in players like the Colts and 49ers have done? You know my answer. What's yours?
I have talked to several coaches this year, the latest being both John Harbaugh and Pete Carroll, who both essentially said the same thing. You know what's cool about the league right now? It's going back to old school. It's cycling back into, you control the line of scrimmage, you can win a lot of football games. You control the line of scrimmage, you can run the ball, you can win a lot of football games. You control the line of scrimmage, you can run the ball, you take a lot of pressure off of whoever your quarterback is. I am a believer, Mike, that if you win the LOS, you win. That's just the way, that's the way to me it's always been. Now it's, you know, it's gone on a path and a cycle, but still, all the rules are bent towards throwing it. All the rules are bent towards, you know, doing those things. But guess what? When teams that physically whoop other teams, they're the ones that win games. I mean, come on. You got whooped up front by the Kansas City Chiefs, and they didn't even have their quarterback after, what, when did he go out? The first, late in the first quarter, early second quarter? A guy who hadn't thrown a pass in a practice in Matt Moore beat you.
See, the problem with going after the quarterback early is that you're putting so much pressure on him to be the unicorn. You're putting so much pressure on him to take average or even below average talent and make it better than it really is. That's an incredible amount of pressure to place on one young quarterback. To me, in a time now more and more where, and I keep coming back to this, and this is the argument, this is the hill I'm going to plant my flag on. When no less an authority than Kyle Shanahan tells you that it has never been more difficult to evaluate quarterbacks coming out of college than right now, what does that tell you? Yes, it tells you it's difficult to evaluate, but it also tells you that quarterback talent is spread out, that there's more quarterback talent to be found all around college than ever before. And I would much rather be able to find those. And what's the other thing he told you? The other thing he told you is that it's becoming also harder and harder to evaluate offensive linemen coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I would rather take those surefire offensive linemen or the real obvious difference makers in front seven defensively, whether it be linebackers or, you know, the Nick Bosa types, and build around those guys and then get my quarterback with the idea that, hey, I'm going to find a good quarterback. They're out there. I'd much rather bring that good quarterback in with a really good team being built around him.
You know what John Harbaugh told me just on Saturday? He goes, you know, the affinity for the passing game and the way the league is structured and built right now, he said, there hasn't been a new passing concept developed in this league in the last 20 years. Because all the routes and the route combinations are identical. Everybody runs the exact same stuff. He goes, that mine has been mined. There is no, like, there are no more gems in that mine. He goes, and that's where we're going in. Can we become unique in the running game? Can we give you stuff that you have never seen before that you have to try to figure out how to defend? And think about this. You have to defend that in a league where they make it really hard to defend it because you can't actually touch each other in practice anymore. The first time you're defending a run fit with a quarterback running the ball and a tight end and a fullback and a tailback leading the way, the first time you feel those run fits is on Sunday when you're defending those run fits. Like, that's an incredibly difficult thing to do. And they're turning the league on its head right now going, we're going to change it up, man. Interesting. It's an incredibly interesting time in the league.
It is. And the blueprint, sign me up. Colts, 49ers. That's the blueprint. That's the blueprint I would love to see the Broncos follow here. Over the next. Now, it's going to require patience. It's not sexy. You start stringing together a couple of drafts where you're drafting O-linemen, you know, and front seven guys on defense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not thrilling. But come on now. Look, so, I mean, look.
It may not be thrilling, but it's effective.
It's effective. And you know what? You do it, it sets you up to be able to win for a long time. All right. Your reaction to that on the RamosLive.com text line coming up next. You know, a texter said, good point. Hey, the Colts made all those moves because they already knew they had their quarterback in place. Would they have done the same thing if they hadn't? It's a fair point. It's a fair point, but here's the thing. They did trade for Jacoby Brissett, and maybe they weren't sure it would work out this way. Maybe it wasn't part of their grand design, but here's what they've discovered. Jacoby Brissett's a good quarterback. Jacoby Brissett's a good leader. Remember, Andrew Luck was not involved with this team at all, really, during the offseason and preseason. Brissett ran all the first-team reps going back to the spring, was involved in all the film sessions, kind of led all the film sessions. The Luck retirement may have been a shock to everybody, and it may have led a lot of people on the outside to think that it threw the Colts into disarray. That's the farthest thing from the truth. They were already in lockstep behind Brissett all offseason. So it made for an easy transition. My point being is that, okay, maybe it wasn't part of their grand design, but the way that things have worked out, they can look at it and say, you know, what we're able to do was go out and make a trade for what's turned out to be a really solid quarterback who seems to have a ton of upside, is a tremendous leader, tremendous student of the game. And oh, by the way, all these first round picks that we invested in the offensive line, now it has set us up where we're in good shape here. We got a nice solid foundation nucleus that should serve us well for a long time. So maybe it wasn't part of the plan, but it seems to have worked out pretty well. So why can't that lead other teams like the Broncos to say, all right, let's do what the Colts did. Instead of it working out for the Colts in hindsight, this will be our plan going in. We invest in our offensive line. We go get our quarterback another way and do it that way. Or we do it like the 49ers. Right. We build up our front seven on defense. We build up our offensive line. And again, we go find the quarterback to sort of augment all that.
And you know what's interesting about that? Now, I know it didn't necessarily work out long term. But if you go back to when the Jets were beating the Patriots in the playoffs, and the Jets, they didn't get to a Super Bowl, but they got to an AFC championship game. When Rex Ryan took over, and Mike Tannenbaum, friend of the show, who comes on every now and again, was a general manager. You know what they invested in right off the bat? Line of scrimmage players. DeBrickashaw Ferguson, Nick Mangold. They went out and got themselves one draft they got both those guys in the first round, DeBrickashaw and Nick Mangold. And they eventually put in, you know, Mark Sanchez, and they went to a couple AFC championship games. But I think your point is good. It's, you know, it's well taken. And I've always believed in this. Yeah. Like, regardless of how the game changes, and it changes all the time, you know, it kind of goes through these ebbs and these flows and these, you know, philosophical beliefs and what teams try to do. But I've always felt this 100% of the time. Now, winning the line of scrimmage does not go in and out of vogue. You know, it does not go in and out of popularity. If you win the line of scrimmage, you're going to win a lot of football games. Regardless of who plays quarterback, regardless of who plays wide receiver, regardless of who plays, you know, like the two undefeated teams in this league, here's an exercise for you. The two undefeated teams in this league right now, San Francisco and New England. Name me their wide receivers. Go ahead.
Oh, geez. I mean,
Edelman?
Edelman, yeah, we know. I can't name any of San Francisco's, I mean, other than just going deep in fantasy football. I mean, you got what, Pettis?
Dante Pettis.
Goodwin? Goodwin.
Close, though.
Close.
Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, I never hadn't thought of him.
Right? They've got, what is his name? Ricky James, I think is his name. Number 13.
Yeah, New England last night had, I don't know, who's this Jacoby Myers kid? Where'd he come from?
I think he's a free agent. Like, I mean, the point being is, like, come on, win the line of scrimmage, win a lot of football games.
Texter, hey, Mike, New England only has so many quarterbacks to trade away. New England, San Francisco, and Indianapolis. Combined record of 11-17-2.
Right.
All three quarterbacks were there together.
Richie James, not Ricky James. Richie James. 17-2.
Brissett, Garoppolo, and Brady all together.
Can we get what's the kid's name that's backing up Brady right now? Stidham?
Stidham?
Is he available?
Yeah.
The rate things are going, they could probably get two first rounders for Stidham right now.
Probably could.
Right?
You're right. We talk about the ode to McVay.
Yes.
This would be the ode to Brissett. The ode to Jimmy G.
The ode to Brady.
The ode to Brady. Hey. If they learned under Brady, they must be worth going to get, right?
Right. Based on Jimmy G and Jacoby Brissett, Stidham is worth two first rounders.
Hey, you know what? Can I give you another blueprint team? It hasn't worked out yet in the playoffs, but how about Dallas?
Yeah. You're right.
You know, Jerry Jones fought the urge. He wanted to. You know he wanted to go out and draft himself a quarterback in the first round, but he kept drafting offensive linemen for a while. Remember that?
He tried.
Tyron Smith.
Zach Martin.
Zach Martin. Travis Frederick.
Travis Frederick was listed as a second rounder or a third round, and he moved up to the first round to get, like, he jumped up to get him. You know what's interesting? And Collins is a really good player, too. Their right tackle. I think he was a fairly... He's what? You know, he was undrafted?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's the one he was involved in a scandal. Remember? He would have been highly drafted, but he went undrafted.
So that's where they invested.
And where'd they get their quarterback?
Khaki. Fourth rounder. I mean, those are the khakiest of khaki pants. Those might be khaki shorts. Not even pants.
Those are like khaki jorts.
Jorts. Or maybe capris.
Capris. Yeah. That's right. Khaki capris.
Khaki capris.
Showing just enough.
Right.
Of those.
You're like.
Not so tapered ankles.
Right. Look at those calves. Calves like that. You can really, press off that back foot and drive a throw.
Please stop.
Okay. That's the khaki capri area.
The khaki capri, but still falls within the khaki. Hey, you've been with me since the advent of the khaki pants theory. You know from day one it's always been rounds 2 through 4.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
All right. Nobody's ever had a problem with that. Until now. It's always been 2 through 4. Okay. That'll do it for us. There you go. There's your blueprint. Boy, I love when we just solve all the world's problems.
Absolutely brilliant.
Right? There you go. Follow the Colts. Follow the 49ers. And you will be back to being on top and being built to win for a long, long time. All right. Sandy and Orlando, they're coming your way next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank.
Banking for good.